Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Another episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, as always, my buddy, the guy with the allergies tonight, Mike McShane. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm terrible, Jonathan. I don't know. I'm good. I'm good.
Go with the Barkley there, huh?
I'm good considering.
It's as terrible as your golf swing. It's terrible, I tell you.
I guess I'm okay. Yeah, I'm dealing with these fall allergies right now, and it's boy, you know, on top of all that, you know, post mortem from yesterday, I had a horrible day picking them, and then on top of all that, hey, in my fantasy team, you know, in my fantasy league, I got to go and get beat by a stinking Cowboys fan. You know, just a bad day all around. I'm ready to get back into bed and start all over again.
That's terrible. But the terrible. Good thing is, I feel bad for you, but I won all four of my leagues this weekend. So I think that's a first for me.
Well, you needed a win, I think, in ours, didn't you?
I was 1-1.
Yeah. What was that? You were 1-1?
Yeah, I was 1-1. I was 1-1 in all of my leagues. Can you believe that?
Well, I might win in the other one yet tonight, so hopefully there's a little hope there. And But boy, to get beat by a Dallas Cowboys fan, are you kidding me? Sick.
You know, do anything with a Dallas Cowboys fan is just terrible.
Terrible.
All right, Mike. Well, we got a lot to talk about tonight. But first, I have to talk about something near and dear to our hearts here at Fan Junkies. And it is Beat the Shark with the Shark, Jeff Parrini. And, you know, we have one more game left in week three. But it was a good week three. There was a lot of people hovering around that last place mark and Beat the Shark. Jeff was right there in second place, and he was getting dominated in the first 2 weeks by Heather Furr of the Chicago Bliss. So, you know, it's been great so far. This week was huge, though, as Sarah Brady from the BC Angels of LFL Canada had just an awesome, awesome week three with 10 wins so far, and she's in first place with 28 wins on the season, knocking Heather to second place with 27 wins. And get this, the Shark drops to third, he's actually tied with Angel Chiller of the Green Bay Chill. And the great part about all of this is that Jamie Jacobson from the Green Bay Chill of the Lingerie Football League and Jeff Parrini, the Shark, have been talking so much smack to each other on Twitter. But get this, Jamie had a kick-ass week. So far, she's got 8 wins. If the Packers win tonight, has 9. It's going to shoot her up, boom, right behind the Shark. And I got to tell you something. I know the Shark, he's a little fearful right now.
Well,
he's scared. He knows Jamie could slap the hell out of him. And the great part about it is that she's coming up right in his ass right now.
Well, and he's so scared, I understand why you tried to reach out to him and get him to come on tonight. And, hey, you know, we couldn't get him to come on.
All I had to do was mention the name Jamie Jacobson.
And that was it. He went running.
Well, he went swimming. I mean, he swam away. I mean, Jamie, you know what? I know you're going to listen to this eventually. You know, Jeff's getting a little scared. So if I were you, I keep picking those games. I have a lot of faith in you. But you know what? I have a lot of faith in all of these girls. They're all incredible. You know, it's been such a blast so far, 3 weeks into it. And you know what? We couldn't ask for a better bunch of athletes to come in and play Beat the Shark this week. And the great thing is that we're going to start profiling each LFL player now starting in week four. And in week four, we're going to start with Heather Furr only because she was in first place for the first 2 weeks of the season heading into week three, and we chose her last week. So, you know, all of the people that are reading it and paying attention to the Beat the Shark contest, they can learn more about these LFL athletes and more about the Lingerie Football League in a whole. And it's just a phenomenal football league. These girls are just athletic beyond the max.
Yep.
You know, forget about it. But, yeah, you know what? If you haven't heard about Beat the Shark, if you haven't read anything about it, or if you don't even know anything about the Lingerie Football League, please head over to www.fanjunkies.net, click blogs, and look for each Beat the Shark post. If not, follow us on Twitter, at FanJunkiesNet, and you'll see all of our great LFL Beat the Shark posts. It's just phenomenal.
There you go.
Just phenomenal. All right, so you know what? Let's go right into it. We're going to talk NFL, but we're going to keep all of our good stories for Wednesday, just in case something good happens tonight between the Packers and the Seahawks, which, who knows? But it's been a crazy week so far in the National Football League. So what I really want to mention to everybody listening right now is I read a story on TMZ just about a half an hour ago, and I found this pretty damn funny. Chicago Blackhawks legend Chris Chilios, NHL legend Chris Chilios, was at Stanley's Kitchen and Tap in downtown Chicago this weekend after the Bears game. What do you think he did, Mike?
Well, go ahead, talk to us. What did he do?
He burned Jay Cutler's Chicago Bears jersey in the bar. Taped it. It is on TMZ. It's now making the rounds.
Well, I would do the same darn thing myself, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, absolutely. But now, from a fan doing it is one thing. From a Chicago sports legend, is it another?
Well, listen, you're talking about Chris Chilios. I mean, the guy was never exactly subtle. Let's get it straight. Okay. I mean, I didn't much like him when he played. I kind of actually liked him a heck of a lot better after he retired.
Well,
who wouldn't expect? I mean, listen, the folks in Chicago should be burning his jerseys. That's my personal opinion. I mean, seriously. Like, you know, I've said this before. I really like the Bears. I'm a Philly guy, but I really like the Bears. But I could do, as I said pre-show, I could do without Jay Cutler for sure. The guy's a head case. Come on.
Oh, no. He absolutely is. He really is. There's no question about what a head case he is.
I mean,
and you know what bothers me most of all is that how the hell does he land these hot women? He's not good looking. He's a complete dope. Honestly, if he was about 2 or 3 feet shorter, he could easily be one of the seven dwarfs. He looks like one. He looks like a grown midget.
Well, he's a professional athlete. That's
no, he's not, man. He's got money. Come on.
You're right. He's not a professional athlete.
And Oliver Miller was a professional athlete and couldn't get these girls because he didn't make money like that. Come on. It's the money.
But take a look at that performance yesterday that Cutler put out there. And you and I were talking a little bit about this game with the Rams pre-show. Somebody had to win it. And I guess it came down to default, really.
Well,
17-31. Yeah, 17-31 he was. One interception, he was sacked twice and had a 58.9 QB rating.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, put it this way. If Michael Bush's 3-yard run touchdown in the second was the last anything of that game, the Bears would have won 7-6.
The issue, I think, the biggest issue with Jay Cutler, and when you take a look at a story like what you're talking about with Chris Chilios, who obviously is a Chicago guy and has been, and he believes in Chicago, and you know, he's kind of like a lot of our guys here in Philadelphia who they're really not Philadelphia natives, but they've been here forever and ever and ever, and so therefore they've adopted it. It's Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler would do himself a favor if he would just try to be a little more, likable.
But he's not.
I mean, seriously, and that's his biggest problem, is he doesn't, you know, even in a performance like what you saw yesterday there on the field, Jay Cutler could get around that if he was a likable guy.
But
he's not. He's not a likable guy.
I don't think he'll ever be. I mean, this is his seventh season in the National Football League. He's not going to be a likable guy ever.
And that's why you get people like Chris Chilios burning his jersey in a freaking bar.
Fans don't like him.
No.
They didn't like him in Denver. You know what would be great? If somebody from the Chicago Bears comes out, even anonymously, and says, listen, Jay Cutler sucks. Get him the hell out of Chicago. We can't win with Jay Cutler as our quarterback.
I couldn't agree more.
Is that the next step? Because I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know. Really, when it comes right down to it, take a look at it. I mean, it can't be long. It can't be long before he's gone. He hasn't done anything.
Yes. No, he hasn't. He
you know,
hasn't.
But
then again, you know what? He played better than Sam Bradford yesterday.
Apples and apples we're comparing now at this point. 18 of 35 with Sam Bradford.
Wait, you know what?
And a 39.2 QB rating. This is like I said, somebody had to win the game.
Well, you know what? If you look at it yesterday, there really wasn't that many quarterbacks that actually put a good game.
No, not really.
There was very few that did.
Yeah.
You know? Joe Flacco looked pretty damn good last night. That's for sure.
Okay.
Hey, he did. Hey, listen. I don't know. You know what? It was either Flacco looked good or Torrey Smith was just a beast, man, with all the emotions. I mean, who knows? You know? But I think Flacco looked pretty damn good last night. So that's one of my quarterbacks of the weekend. You know what? Let's can the football talk, because that was just so funny that I had to mention it. And let's move it somewhere else, because Wednesday is usually our pretty heavy National Football League talk. So we'll leave the rest for Wednesday, all the good storylines from Sunday and tonight, and you know we'll just talk about it then. But we're going to switch it over to something that we spoke about just about a show or two ago, and it's the wild card expansion of the Major League Baseball. And today, Chipper Jones came out and basically said he thinks it's stupid. He thinks it is completely and utterly stupid to do this whole new one-game playoff in Major League Baseball. And I got to tell you, I'm a Mets fan. Chipper Jones has shoved wins down my throat for years. And guess what? I agree with Chipper Jones.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, I was taking a look at this article today on Yahoo. And in many respects, as I said before, I kind of feel confirmed. If I didn't know better, I would have thought that Chipper Jones had been reading some of the articles that I've been writing this past season, this season right now, on this whole wild card format. He actually comes out and says this doesn't seem fair because anything can happen in a one game. Now, if we were to play two wild card teams would play a best of three series, I'd be okay with that. We play three game series all the time, and we concentrate on winning those series all the time.
Yeah.
He makes a tremendous point, and that's exactly the point that I had made in numerous articles that I have written about the whole wild card format. You know, I guess some would come back and say, "Well, look, Chipper Jones is making those comments because he's in a wild card. He's in a wild card situation. He's probably going to end up playing the St. Louis Cardinals in a one game." And of course, they could get knocked out.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Of course, he could say that.
Yeah.
You know, look, the guy's on his way out the door. He's been playing for how many years? 19?
I don't know, 47 seasons, I think.
Yeah, 47.
Honestly, because it seems that way to me. I mean, I'm a Mets fan.
I think it's 19, and
God bless him.
You know, he wants fair is fair, and he's right. This isn't a fair situation. And frankly, when you get a major league, and you know, look, I went off on this, what was it, last week or a couple of shows ago, and I went off pretty heavily on the whole situation. When you start getting players of the caliber of Chipper Jones coming out and making statements like this, you can bet that Bud Selig and the Major League Baseball are going to be sitting up straight. This thing is going to go to a three-game series. Guaranteed, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to go to a three-game series.
Yeah.
This is all nothing more than an experiment this year. That's what this is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Let me ask you, too, because I read his quote today over at Big League Stew by Mark Townsend. And one of the things he said is that, fans like cutthroat baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people loved the 163rd regular season game. They've loved it in the past. I'm sure that's probably what promoted a second wild card team. I wish they would have done it a year earlier so we would have had a chance last year, but it is what it is.
Right.
Now, is he sour on it because of that?
I don't think he's so much sour on it because of that. I think he's more concerned about what the potential is for this year, them having to go up against St. Louis and the potential for, you know, listen, in a one game, anything can happen, as he points out. And that's the point I've made as well. Allow this thing to be a three game. Now, my concern with allowing a three game series in this type of a format is how far back are we going to be pushing the playoffs? You know, how far back are we going to be looking at a World Series?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to be going into, you know, are we going to be looking at the last game of a World Series at November 7th, 10th? I mean, so that's my concern. I read his comments there as well. I kind of had a question mark above my head as well, saying, Oh, he sounds like he's a little sour grapes over the whole situation from last year. I don't know. Maybe there is something to it. I think it's more that he's just concerned about the fact that, hey, we're going to have to play St. Louis, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's something that we spoke about a couple of shows ago, and we both shared the same sentiment on it. And guess what? Chipper Jones agrees with us.
Yeah. That's one way of looking at it. I kind of like that.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to work to get Chipper Jones on the show after the MLB season.
I kind of like that. Jones agrees with me instead of me agreeing with him. I like that.
Hey, listen, I never once thought in a million years that I would actually back Chipper Jones, and I've done it twice so far this year, and a pig hasn't flown past my window yet.
Well, and I hear you, because, listen, as I pointed out, you know, we were talking about Chipper Jones in one of the previous shows where you were bringing up the situation with the where he was making his retirement
trip.
Yeah, up in New York. And I have never been, obviously, because I'm a Phils fan, I've never been a big Chipper Jones fan. Nonetheless, though, I give him his place because of his history and because of all of his accomplishment. And like I said, 19 years, I believe it's 19 years, with one team. You know, nobody ever does that.
You know what? He did it without being a total jerk.
Yeah, he did. You're right. I mean, there were times he was a jerk back when
he was a jerk because the fans were ripping him. He was ripping back at the fans. Why not? You know, it was in good, clean fun.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna say, you know, he didn't pull no John Rocker type garbage.
No, he didn't.
There have been other players that took things way too far, but he had fun with it, and he left it all out on the field.
I think some of us down here up here in Philadelphia found him to be a bit smarmy at times.
Well, most Philadelphia people are smarmy. Listen, we all think
you just continue today, don't you? You've just been slamming Philly fans every chance.
Between you and Jeff and everybody, it's good. I love you guys. You know, you're a bunch of filth balls from Philly, but I love you. All right, but you know what? Leave it at that. You know what? Chipper Jones thinks it's garbage. We thought it was garbage. I'm sure more players are going to come out and saying it's garbage. But the only people who are going to think it's not garbage are the teams that get in to actually play that game and the owners for making an extra game's worth of money.
But I'm telling you, mark my words, as I said last week, mark my words, of the AL, of the NL, one of those one-game elimination, one of those one-game play-ins, one of them, the underdog is going to win. And when that happens, you are going to hear the fan bases and the media from those towns that were the losing side of the favorites screaming and bitching and moaning, and then you're going to see Major League Baseball make this at least a three-game series. I'm telling you, it's not going to stay this way.
You know what? After all of these games, even me as a baseball fan, you can only take so much baseball in a season. And you know what? The playoffs are drawn out and long as it is. To add another three-game series onto it, you know what? I just don't know.
Well, I agree with you, and see, I frankly don't want. I think this is unnecessary. I think this whole concept is unnecessary to begin with, period.
I think the only fans and people that are going to want a three-game series or even this stupid one-game expansion is the fans of these low teams who will play like crap and are going to get in just because of this rule.
Well, and I said, you know, wait and see. There's going to come a time. If you keep with this, there's going to be a sub-500 team that's going to get in. Now, like I said, it's not going to happen this year, all right? But it's going to happen some point if you're going to stick with this. I'm not in favor of changing anything. I say leave it the way it was.
Yeah.
But the whole – I don't know. This whole one game thing is just too happenstance, and it flies in the face of what baseball historically has been all about, which is the series format. That's what it flies in the face of. Now, you know, what's the solution? Okay, we could shorten the season. All right, so we don't have 162 games.
Yeah.
No 162 games. Take it off by 10. Take it off by 20, for God's sake.
Honestly, I think they should probably drop a good 20 to 25 games and space them out a little better.
I wouldn't have a problem with it as well. But I think the big issue there is, again, the historical perspective of the 162-game season. I think that's going to be the problem. How are you going to get those traditional fans out there to wrap their brains around that one? That's where I think it's not going to fly.
You know what? I hate to say it, but the same way traditional National Hockey League fans had to wrap their mind around rule changes just to gain new fans that don't know a thing about hockey.
Well,
it'll happen. But, you know, that's what we worried about the last time with hockey. It'll happen. And it can happen. You'll get used to it. You know?
But with all due respect, though, Jonathan, hockey is a younger sport.
Oh, absolutely. But still, you're talking about, you know, changing rules that have been around for 50, 60 somewhat years. And plus more.
Baseball's been around for 130.
And trust me, they're still not using the rules from the 1800s.
Well, no, of course we're not.
Exactly. You know, they changed the rules plenty of times before. They'll end up doing it again. It's Bud Selig. Why not?
Why not? Why him? How about that?
Well, there's a lot of them we could say why him.
We need to hear from some fans.
Exactly. We need some damn callers. The number is 347-237-5373. Please call in. Tell us to shut up and move on.
Well, please call in because I need to rest my voice. I got these allergy issues.
And I'm waiting for the artist formerly known as the guy who calls in the Fan Junkies to sing horrible songs.
Oh, there you go.
Nicole.
We need that. We need that. Bring it. I'm looking for a little Hanson tonight.
It would be nice.
Now listen, Grapehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Exactly. All right, let's move it over. We're going to go to the National Hockey League. And, of course, the NHL is just a freaking mess. It's terrible. It sucks. Bettman's an ass. Fair's an ass. Even the players are starting to annoy me now. But you sent me over something today from thestar.com. A little piece here by Kevin McGran, and it's pretty interesting. And I know you have a lot to say about this. I spoke until my face is blue over this on the Frat House, on Fan Junkies Radio before, via Twitter, Ranger Nation, a couple other radio shows. I'm just tired of it. So I'm going to give you the mic, Mike, and I'm going to let you talk about what was written today by Kevin McGran of thestar.com.
Well, to me, you know, here it is. You know, call me Snoops if you want, but this is the smoking gun, huh? I mean, seriously. this article comes out of, the Star is out of Toronto. Is that correct, Jonathan?
Correct.
I think it's out of Toronto.
I believe it is.
Anyhow, they report in here, a league source told the Star that barring a settlement, Commissioner Gary Bettman plans to cancel the Winter Classic in November to take away any advantage the players may have at the bargaining table because of the game's popularity. Quote, Gary told the Board of Governors he was going to cancel the Winter Classic in November because he didn't want the players to use the game as leverage, the source said. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's your smoking gun, all right? That means the fan base is zero.
Of course. Man, you didn't have to say that. Everybody knows it.
No. See, we always feel it in these types of situations. We always feel it. We feel it in the NFL. We feel it in the NBA. We feel it in Major League Baseball when these types of things happen. We always feel like we're ostracized. We as the fan base. Oh, we don't have a say. We don't have a voice in this. You know, they're holding us hostage. We're the ones that are going to pay the ticket prices.
Exactly.
We're the ones that got to pay the parking and the concessions. We're the ones that are being held up. This is absolute evidence right out of the man's mouth that, in fact, the fan base means nothing. He knows that game is absolutely a ratings getter. He knows that thing is something that we look forward to. And you and I have talked about this, and we have said the Winter Classic is a tremendous, absolutely beautiful exhibition display that the NHL created. A wonderful marketing ploy.
And it's something that is going to continue to bring fans into hockey.
Absolutely. And for this guy to use something that he knows is a fan favorite, and is bolstering his own league to use that as leverage in negotiations to put the fans' feet to it is absolutely grotesque.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, in this piece, they have a comment from Jimmy Del Villano, who is the Red Wing senior vice president, says, "We're going forward with the Winter Classic at this point in time. It's way too early to start to speculate. It's at least a month too early to worry about it." End quote. This is a guy that just a few days ago called NHL players cattle.
Well, okay, but hold on. Do you have a problem with that?
I absolutely do.
You have a problem with Devilana's comments the other day?
No. Listen, in a way I don't. In a way I do. Especially when you got two sides battling out, it just shows you how far apart the owners and the players are.
No, I disagree with you. I think it shows that Devilano understands exactly. That's why the Red Wings were fined, because Devilano came out and spoke something he wasn't supposed to say. I think Devilano's got it right.
I could go either way on that.
I mean, listen,
Jim Devilano, he's been unfiltered probably since birth. I mean, this isn't the first time he's come out and said anything.
Yeah, but also, but also
HL against players, whatever.
But also considered to be one of the better minds in NHL.
Well, I give him that. But then again, I mean, you know what? He did knock the Flyers for the Shea Weber signing, which I 110% agreed with. But at the same time, this is the Detroit Red Wings who would throw money around like nothing.
Listen, I'm not going to speak to what the Detroit Red Wings do or don't do. I'm simply speaking to the fact that Devilano made comments the other day that I think it was obvious that Bettman didn't want him saying. And if they're going to gag him, and if they're going to say, "Oh, you're out of line for your comments, and it doesn't show unity on our side," well, then I say, "Hey, let Devilano have the podium." I don't have an issue with that at all, and
You know what? I guess I got a different understanding of it, but to me, it was just the pot and the kettle going at it again.
Listen, I think in many respects, his comments here, Devilano's comments here, that it's going to go forward at this point. I think, again, I'm waiting for Bettman to come down and slap him on the wrist for that comment. Because, in essence, what he's saying is, screw Bettman and screw what he thinks he's going to do. You know, we're going to make this thing happen.
Well, hopefully. But then again, the owners are the ones that are keeping Bettman in power, and he's the voice of the owners. So it goes to show you, is there something else bigger going on behind the scenes?
Well, let's not forget. I mean, Devilano is not the president
of the Rangers. He definitely has the ear of the Red Wings owner.
Absolutely he does, and because of his...
He's a well-respected person in the Detroit Red Wings organization, and he's basically the right-hand man to the Red Wings owner.
Well, okay, and that's fine.
So you got to think, is there going to be a little... heat between him and the Red Wings owner now over this, if the Red Wings owner doesn't agree?
Well, there could be. I mean, here's my point. I guess Devilano's comments the other day that he got fined for, and how much did they get fined for? Was it $25,000 or $250,000? I forget.
I think it was $250,000.
I think it was $250,000.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I think Devilano's comments show a chink in the armor. That's what I think it shows. I think it shows that not everybody is on the same Bettman page. And I think that that's a positive. That's my personal opinion. And I think that it further goes in this particular order when Devilano is coming out and saying, we're going to go forward with the Winter Classic. I think that further indicates that he is not in lockstep with the NHL, and he is not in lockstep with Bettman.
It makes sense. It does. It does, but once again, like I said, you know what, I think I just took a different understanding of, you know, in between the words there. So, to me, it could have went either way, you know, but, you know what, in a further comment that he did make, he did say something that I totally agreed with, and I'm going to quote it right now. I just saw this on Opposing Views. He said, "Yes, they are billionaires. Good on them. They deserve it, but they also make their employees millionaires. Not a bad trade-off for a guy like Milan Lucic getting, what, $6 million a year? I mean, good on him too, but he should be grateful. Understand, though, that these players want for nothing. It's first-class this, first-class that, yep. Meal allowances, travel money on the road, the whole shebang."
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. He did make that comment. And make no mistake that somebody like Devilano is walking a thin line. All right? I think, you know, he's kind of like on the plank, you know, and he's being stuck in the back of the ribs. You know, walk it. You're going to walk over the – and you're going to go into the ocean. He's walking a thin line. Yes, he makes those comments, which makes him sound like he is all for management. That's what it makes it sound like. But then there are these shades of him.
Well, that's the thing. It's these warning shots he fires too.
Well,
you know what? In between these statements he makes.
Because I think the guy's a hockey guy, and I think he knows what's right.
Well,
and I appreciate.
I think
what
he's one of the old school guys that are just pissed off at the way everything's been going the last 18 years.
Well, and personally, I don't have an issue with that.
Well, you know what?
I think that's right.
Billy, you know what? Bill Daly, the NHLW commissioner, came out and he actually said that the Detroit Red Wings organization and the league agree that the comments made by Mr. Devolano are neither appropriate nor authorized nor permissible under the league's bylaws. Such comments are neither constructive nor helpful to the negotiations.
Yeah, by the bylaws. So suddenly we got gag orders in effect by the bylaws? Are you kidding me?
Well,
seriously.
Freedom of speech doesn't work in corporations.
I guess it doesn't. Right. That's right. It doesn't work there. Not when you're talking about $3 billion a year.
Yeah. Either way, we can both agree. Freaking ridiculous. Get it signed. Get it done. I want hockey to start ASAP.
I want to hear from Devolano. That's who I want to hear from.
I want to hear from hockey fans. I want to hear from hockey fans who have been reading about this, who have been keeping in touch about this. Call in now, 347-237-5373. Hopefully over the next week or two, we're going to have somebody in who's a known hockey analyst that we've been talking to, and we hope to get his 2 cents. Lock out Jim Devolano's comments and so much more.
I have a funny feeling that Jim Devolano is not on Twitter, but if he were, I would follow him right now.
Well, you know what? Even if he was and we could get him on the show, I doubt Jim Devolano, after a $250,000 fine to the organization, is going to say much.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I think he's a feisty little guy.
I don't know. I don't know. He's been kind of hiding since then, so we'll see what happens. It would be nice to have him on, though.
I agree.
I think I might have to send an email to the Red Wings organization and see what happens.
Oh, don't you dare do that.
Oh, I know. The NHL Fan Alliance, baby. That's what it's all about.
What are you trying to do? Stir the pot, dude?
Hell yeah. Listen, I'm one of the guys that make changes. All right, well, we got a little over 25 minutes left in the show. We definitely want to hear from some of our from our listeners. You can call in now at 347-237-5373 if you have any questions, comments about what we spoke about tonight, or if you want to be that guy who calls in and sings horrible music.
I'm waiting for that.
I know you are.
I'm waiting for that.
I know. It's something we talked about before we went on air. And actually, I got a Facebook message from him saying, I hear you guys calling me out.
Don't, yeah, we're calling. Well, I'm not. Listen, I'm not feeling all that well. I might need a lullaby.
I don't know. It's your address. I'm singing you to sleep. I don't know. That's a better way. Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. I will not tell you. If you call in, I'm not going to tell you you're terrible. I promise.
Well, you might.
No, I won't do that. No, Charles wouldn't do that.
I might. I don't know. Charles or Hollis Thomas?
Oh, no. Let's not go there.
Listen to the smooth sounds of Mac Machine and John.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to get off of hockey. And we're going to talk about something that we have not yet really spoke about in the first 9 episodes of Fan Junkies Radio, and that is what? The National Basketball Association. The NBA is getting set to start, and Slam actually posted a little tidbit today from Denver Nuggets head coach George Karl, and he basically thinks that the NBA would be better if they shortened it to 62 games and started on Christmas Day like they did after the lockout this past season. Mike, you read what George Karl said. Do you agree or disagree with that the NBA should be a shorter season? And let me say this before you even say anything. You mentioned it a couple of shows ago that you thought it was better. So I already know you agree, but go ahead. Tell our listeners.
Well, no, I couldn't agree more. Listen, I'm a basketball fan, but I'm probably first and foremost an NCAA basketball fan over a professional basketball fan. But I got to tell you, I really got into the NBA last year. And what made the NBA to me so exciting last year was the fact it was a shortened season. I liked his concept. I liked his idea, and I believe that if, in fact, that were the case, and I know that this is probably not going to be popular with a lot of NBA fans out there,
yeah.
I believe that this would actually make the NBA more viable.
Really?
Yes. I think it would get more viewership. I think that people would get more excited about it. I think it would be a great help for small market teams. I think it condenses the season, and what it does is it really makes things very, very competitive. Now, of course, the issue is going to be, well, if you're going to do that there, then why don't you do it in leagues like the NHL, where, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, both seasons really absolutely positively mirror each other from the standpoint of length of time and their playoff scheme. And I might...
The last 3 minutes of a basketball game takes 45 hours.
Well, yeah, no. That's not
true. For each team, come on.
No, I don't know if I agree with you there, Jonathan. In almost every NBA basketball game that I watched last year, it was far shorter than any NHL game that I watched. Most NHL games are going about 2 hours 15, 2 hours 20 minutes. And a lot of the NBA games that I watched last year were 2 hours, just maybe a little bit over 2 hours, and that was it. So I don't know if I can necessarily agree with you. I think that what you're basing it on is you're basing it on an impression that it feels like it's longer because of the last 2 minutes
of
the game.
It actually is longer.
Well, you'd have to prove that to me in the length of time on a clock, because I don't believe it is.
No, I'm talking about when you watch a basketball game compared to watching an NHL game on TV, NBA games last longer than an NHL game does.
I don't think you're correct on that. I really should have some numbers in front of me on that.
I think your watch is running a little fast.
I'm just telling you, it seemed to me that most of the games in NHL run about 2 hours 20 minutes. That's about on the average. Would that be accurate?
About.
Okay. Most of the NBA games last year that I watched were running about 2 hours, 6 minutes.
Come on, man. You were playing it on the Xbox. It doesn't count. That's simulated time. It flies.
All right. Regardless of the length of time of the actual events,
yes.
All right, let's get back to his concept here, which is to shorten the season. I frankly think it's a good idea. I can't believe that George Karl probably isn't getting slapped on the wrist right now by the Nuggets ownership over there for making such a comment, because they're sitting there going, dude, you're talking about shortening our season by 20 games. Are you kidding me?
It'll probably come out.
Probably will. I like the idea. I think it's a good idea. That's just my personal opinion. I enjoyed the NBA a heck of a lot more last year in the shortened season. That's where I come down on it. I just enjoyed the season a whole heck of a lot more. Of course, it didn't hurt that my Sixers played pretty well.
Well, I mean, I enjoy it either way. So, to me, it's honestly, if they shortened it, great. If they didn't, I'd still watch and I'd still enjoy.
Well,
I don't know, but you know what? To me, it's different. I mean, it could go either way, because basketball and hockey games, the final result could end up to be so close. I think those extra games really help towards going to the standings.
I'm not.
Yeah, get a little tongue tied there, Mike.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I agree with that completely. I mean, seriously, I would agree with you if when do the standings come into play? It's when you're playing in your own divisions. That's it, or in your own conference.
Well, of course, but either way, every win counts.
Yeah, they do, but really the ones that count the most are the ones when you're playing in your own division or in your own conference.
Yeah.
And so therefore, that is if you have conferences. But really, I'd be more inclined to eliminate, West Coast going to East Coast going to West Coast, and have more games going on, or maybe perhaps shorten the season, shorten both seasons, NHL and NBA.
Yeah.
And then have more games going on inside your own regional districts. And in that way, then, it creates for a more competitive type of situation where these guys are going actually going up against each other, ultimately in the end, I think that that makes more sense.
Well, they're talking about taking 20 games off. Well, at least George Karl is saying that. Start around December 1st, play 62 games, whatever number the NBA comes up with. So you're talking about taking 20 games off of the NBA season.
All right, let me ask you a question, John, because you're probably a bigger NBA fan, really, than I am. I mean, I follow it, but you're probably a bigger NBA fan than I am.
Most likely.
Would that be accurate? Okay.
Yeah, it would be.
Okay. Now, when do you start really following the NBA?
From game one, to be honest. I mean,
you're right there on the edge of your seat, right from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are you jumping in, like, around when they're talking about, in around Christmas time, maybe New Year's? After the football season has concluded.
Well, I watch it because, I mean, to me, it's football doesn't really interfere with it. If there is a Knicks game on a Sunday, I'm not watching it. But then again, there's more games on during the week in basketball than there are football. So, of course, I still watch it. Same thing with hockey.
Okay.
You know, to me, I don't think the two interfere. I think that was a poor... comparison by George Karl. I mean, that really I don't think bothers it.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean...
You're talking 2 to 3 days of football when you have 7 days of basketball.
There's got to be something said, though, for the fact that the TV networks are marketing it that way.
Well,
they know when people are jumping in on this.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are. But, I mean, you know, Christmas Day games and stuff, it's become a tradition over the years for the NBA. I mean, it's been a 20-year tradition, at least by now.
It's not just a tradition. They know when the fan base is checking in to the basketball, to NBA basketball. They know when they are. They're checking in around that time of year, and that's when they're going with it.
Well, I mean, for the fans that don't really follow it, I would probably agree, but the fans that love basketball and follow it, they're there all season long. Same thing goes with hockey. Same thing goes with football and baseball.
Hmm.
You know, to me, it's the real fans that stay in tune with their team, no matter if they're winning or losing. They stay in tune with the game from game one to game 82.
All right, and so that's why the NHL puts the Winter Classic in there, so that we've got some sort of...
It's about time they did something.
Yeah, so that...
Nobody cares about the All-Star game no more. That was their shebang years ago, and the skills competition. Now it's flat. So to bring that Winter Classic in, I think, was a brilliant move, was going to bring more fans into the game of hockey, and that was their thing to go with.
So the Winter Classic has become the unofficial second start of the season, in other words, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, listen, years ago, what was the second start of the season? It was the trade deadline. You know, everybody said, okay, well, the trade deadline is over. Now it's the start of the second season. Okay, here's the All-Star game. All-Star game is over. It's now the start of the second season. To me, the Winter Classic, I mean, you know, it could be the start of the second season for a lot of people, but to me, it's just... A novelty, a piece to the game that's actually rising it from the dust and is going to bring more fans in. To me, it's their Christmas games. It's the football's Thanksgiving games. To me, the Winter Classic is that for the NHL.
I think the Winter Classic is just a tremendous opportunity to pull. I've always looked at it as a tremendous opportunity to pull in brand new fans that never knew what the game was all about.
Exactly, because that's something... Once a year, and it's going to pull more people in.
I didn't look at it necessarily as, and kind of, as I just said, an unofficial, official second opening of the season.
Yeah.
I never looked at it that way.
To me, for anybody who says that, okay, well, the trade deadline's over, it's the second part of the season, now it's going to get really exciting, I'm sorry, you're not a real fan of that sport. To me, that's just a schmuck comment from fans that don't really follow the game. Mm-hmm. And they come in and say, okay, well, this is really going to get, you know, where it gets exciting because now the standings really count. So are you trying to say that the first part of the season didn't count? I think that's BS. You know, because every win counts. If you lose every game in the first part of the season, the second part of the season ain't going to matter for that team.
Well,
that's just,
I could argue.
You could. You're a Philly fan, so.
I was going to say, why don't you go take a look at Major League Baseball standings back in May and take a look at where they stand right now?
You're 106 62 games to an 80-game season, it don't count, man. Come on.
Then you're saying that those don't count. But
62 season, you can't lose 60 games in an 82-game season.
Listen, you know what I love about this particular show is we've kept a basic theme, and that is, hey, let's talk schedules, let's talk length of schedules. We even talked about it with baseball tonight. We talked about shortening the baseball season, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, the baseball season on the front end doesn't count.
It doesn't. It doesn't. 162 games. You can easily have a terrible month in baseball and still turn it around. A terrible month in hockey is huge.
You can be 10. You can be 10 places behind, 10 games behind at the end of August and win the World Series, as we saw last year.
You know what? You could be freaking. You know what? You could be in last place in baseball now with freaking Bud Selig around and getting to the level. Especially with these stupid expansions. I mean, by the end of it, every team in Major League Baseball is going to make the playoffs in a few years.
Yeah, we'll be playing at Christmas time, just about the time that they want to bring the second half of the hockey season to us.
It's a Super Bowl.
Oh, won't that be great? Won't that be great?
Ridiculous, Mike. Pissing me off now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, listen, we want some callers. We have a little over 13 minutes left. The phone number is 347-237-5373. Call in. Let us know what you think of tonight's show.
Come on, guys. I mean, this has been a lively, lively conversation here this evening.
I think it's been one of our better shows.
And Jonathan and I are ready to go at each other, so you got to come in and play referee.
New York versus Philadelphia right here on Fan Junkies Radio.
Just do me a favor. Be better than the replacement referees from yesterday, will you?
Well, if I throw my hat while you're walking, you might slip and break something. Not good.
Oh.
Or Kevin Ogletree. Did you see that video?
I did not see the video.
It's on Fan Junkies. If you go to Fan Junkies,
click on... Oh, no, I did see that. I saw it up on Fan Junkies.
Kevin Ogletree was running around, and what does it mean when a referee takes his hat off and drops it on the floor? It means a player stepped out of bounds.
Right.
This dumbass replacement referee took his hat off, threw it into the end zone. At the same time Ogletree was running his route, Ogletree stepped on a hat, slipped, and Romo missed him.
Well, do we really want to get into the replacement referees?
No. We will on Wednesday. We will on Wednesday because I'm sure there's going to be a hell of a lot of mistakes in a Packers-Seahawks game tonight.
Oh, you think so?
I'm just sure. Come on.
I think they better clean up their act after yesterday.
Yesterday was disgusting. Disgusting display. And what bothers me is that the fans should turn around and say, you know what? Screw you, NFL. When you get the real referees back, that's when we'll start putting money towards games again.
All right, I gotta throw this in here. I know you wanna wait until Wednesday, but I gotta bring it up.
That's left. So come on.
I've been taking some heat. I've been taking some heat over on the Frat House Eagleville Facebook page today. I've been taking some heat on my stand on this one, and that is the whole situation yesterday with Bill Belichick at the end of the game going up to the referee. Apparently he's running off the sideline. The referee's running off the sideline. The Pats have just lost by 1 point on a field goal by the Ravens, and he reaches over, and it appears that he kind of aggressively grabs the referee, and the referee kind of waves him off.
Yeah, it doesn't appear he did it.
Okay, now
easily.
I've been taking some heat on this one because the question comes up: should Belichick be fined and or potentially suspended for a game or two? And I, for one, am not in favor of either.
Well,
I'm coming down on it now, and I'm going to tell you why. I'll make it clear and concise. Belichick's reaction in that particular moment does nothing more than epitomize exactly what all of us fans have been feeling now for numerous weeks. I think all of us have been waiting for a learning curve to take effect. It has not. It has gotten worse.
Yeah.
And I think that he really just epitomized exactly all of the frustration frustrated watching it here in our homes. Can you imagine how it feels to be down there on the field and you're the guy running a team and it's affecting the outcome of your game? And I don't know that he really should be fined or, in fact, suspended or sanctioned in any way whatsoever because he's simply expressing a frustration.
Yeah. Well, either way, all right, put it this way. I don't agree with you, and I'll explain why. It's not because of my just the hate I have for Bill Belichick. It's not. Eric Allen, the NFL analyst from ESPN, made a very, very good, he had a very good opinion on that whole situation. And he made a statement that I totally agreed with. He goes, yes, people are frustrated. They hate these referees. The coaches can't stand it. But there has to be action taken. Why? Because of the kids who play football that watch this. They need to know that no matter what, you cannot put your hands on an official. And I agree with that. But I also agree with the part where these people are frustrated with these replacement referees. It's affecting the outcome of the games. And something eventually bad is going to happen if they keep doing this. A coach is going to – I don't know if it's going to be a coach or a player. But one of these replacement referees are eventually going to get run over on purpose or they're going to get hurt because of their stupidity. But with what Eric Allen said is that, yes, you can fine him. You can't fine him. You can agree with what he did. You can't agree with what he did. But the fact is that there were a lot of eyeballs of – Patriots fans youth that play football, they were watching Bill Belichick basically grab and rip at this referee's shirt, and it showed these kids that it's okay to grab an official. No matter what, in what situation, it's not. It's really not, because that's going to say, okay, well, guess what? I got an answer right in class. My teacher's telling me it's wrong. I know it's right, but let me go up to him, grab him, and shake him up a little bit.
Suddenly, we are going to – wait. You're trying to tell me that after all of the preaching that I've done about sportsmanship and what we present to our kids out there, that this is the argument that Eric Allen is making? That this is a bad example to be setting for youngsters?
Oh, well, and it's something we all know, but seriously? You don't see these guys say this on air.
Come on.
And
we got
somebody did.
We can make a better argument than that, can't we?
It's a good argument. There was no reason for it, no matter how frustrated he was. And like he said, you can't show people that it's okay to put your hands on an official. You can't.
Okay. All right. But it's okay. It's okay for these guys to be doing PEDs and drugs, and that's all right.
No, it's not. I've spoken out about that many, many times.
Hey,
they shouldn't even be allowed in the freaking game.
Wow. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Okay, and what's going on the fields right now in the NFL is not right, and it needs to be addressed. And I understand why some of these guys, coaches, players, are getting frustrated. I understand that. Maybe the message, if we want to send, Eric Allen out there, maybe the message we need to be sending is, hey, let's get things the right way, all right? Instead of doing it, I'm sorry. I think you can make a better argument than that. That's just my personal opinion. I mean, that's kind of speaking with forked tongue, in my opinion. Oh, well, we want to make a better presentation to our kids. Sports is not the best place to be making a best presentation to our kids.
No, it's not, but unfortunately kids look up to these guys. It's a shame, but it's the truth.
No, it's not a shame. I disagree. I think it's absolutely right. They should.
No,
but
I think there's a lot.
But I think they should be doing it
that you should look up to and not an athlete,
Well, I don't have a problem. I mean, look, you and I both looked up to athletes when we were kids, didn't we? I know I did.
I've had favorites. I never sat there and said, "Oh, this guy is my role model," because he's not. But then again, in this day and age, who can you really look up to if you can't look up to your own parents? You know what I mean?
Well, no, I would like to think that all kids do that first and foremost.
I would hope so, but then and there are a lot of parents out there that aren't worth looking up to.
I hear that.
Again, like I said, when I was growing up, and then when you were growing up, it's two totally different time warps than it is now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was.
All right, Mike, we have a caller. We have a little over 5 minutes.
Oh, good.
And, we have a caller from the 610 area code. 610, what's going on?
What's going on, guys?
How's it going?
Sidekick here.
All right, Sidekick, what's up, man?
Man, hey, come on now. You can't put your hands on a ref.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't.
Come on now. Maybe if Belichick actually coached his team to win that game, he wouldn't have gotten all pissed off and had to put his hands on the ref. That's the thing everybody keeps overlooking. Win your game. Stop worrying about the refs.
You know what? In Bill Belichick's defense, it's hard to coach a team when you're looking at it through the lens of a camera.
Well, look, Sidekick, you got to admit, I mean, that is it's just speaking to the frustration of the entire situation.
What?
I mean, really?
Well, listen, let me ask you this. We have a little over 4 minutes left. Sidekick, I want your answer, too, so I'm going to ask you first. Was there a better way for Belichick to vent this frustration with these referees? By doing it through the media and getting fined, wouldn't that open up more eyeballs than him grabbing an official?
I disagree with you on that one right now. Go ahead, Sidekick.
Say it one more time.
I said, was there a way for Bill Belichick to vent his frustration by going through the media, getting fined, and getting it really out there, his own words, than grabbing this official?
Well, grabbing the official, now he's opening himself up to a fine and a suspension.
Which
you know, it's one thing. You know, it's one thing to go out there and be vocal and say, you know what, and we've seen it with players. You know, we've seen the TOs and everybody else with the celebrations. You can find me all you want. I'm still going to sign a football. I'm still going to do an end zone dance.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you be vocal. Tell the NFL, hey, I'm not going to stand for this. Fine me. I don't care. I'm going to talk about it. But you still don't go out there and touch the officials, whether they're scabs or they're not scabs. You don't touch an official because you're getting a fine, and now you're possibly hurting your team because now you're going to get suspended.
Yeah. Well,
it's not
either
smart.
Way. He's either going to get fined or suspended, maybe even both. But here's another thing that nobody's really spoken about. When the NFL hires a referee, they go into training to train to be an NFL referee. When it's their first bunch of games, they are around seasoned veterans of the NFL as referees. These guys were just brought out of the freaking scrap heap.
Right.
You know, so they don't know what the hell they're doing. So can you really blame these referees? Because in a way, I don't.
I'm not blaming the refs at all.
No,
I mean,
no,
it's square. I mean, honestly, to be perfectly honest,
now I'm talking about
I put all the blame on the NFL and Goodell.
Which is why Bill Belichick should have not grabbed the referee, and he should have voiced his displeasure with the National Football League and saying, these referees are ruining the outcomes of NFL games that people pay a lot of money to see and players get paid a lot to play.
But back up the bus, folks. After 4 weeks of preseason and now after 3 weeks of regular season, that's 7 total weeks, we are not seeing a learning curve working in the right direction. What we are seeing is officiating that is getting worse.
It's getting worse, but is nerves a part of it? Because they know they're under the microscope. And last night, you heard it, with the fans chanting BS live on NBC. You got to think, there's a lot going on that's just a bigger problem right now, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse.
I agree it's going to get worse.
I agree, but you can't, you still can't blame the refs for that.
No.
I mean, the rule books are immense. I mean, like you were saying about all the training and everything like that. Even the regular refs were blowing calls.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's
you know what I mean? So, I think these replacement refs are doing the best they can.
Yeah.
You know, I think, the NFL, has, put some, non-referee official people, that watch and, call down and say, no, hold on, that's not the call, stuff like that. But I think ultimately it's on the NFL, come on, how much are these refs asking for that you can't frickin', they make what, $11,000 a, I think we were talking about last night, $11,000 a game. I mean, come on, how much is that actually hurting you to give the refs, a little extra coin?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Right. And, Sidekick, thanks for calling. We got a couple of seconds left. We got to wrap it up, Mike.
Yep.
thanks to everybody listening.
Wow, what a great show.
Phenomenal show. Great. Join us on Wednesday. Thanks again, Mike.
All righty.